Happy Pride and welcome to Out in the Bay Queer Radio. I'm Christopher Beal. This week, an update on all things San Francisco Pride with its hosts. California Democratic Party Chair, RuPaul's Drag Race alum, and District 6 Supervisor candidate Honey Mahogany.
Be a part of the change that you want to see in the world.
And the legendary Sister Roma from the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
I want to do what I can to make the world a better place because, you know, we're all here for just a limited amount of time.
What's all that controversy surrounding police officers and kink at Pride? We'll talk about that and what to expect at this year's San Francisco Pride Festival today, out in the Bay. My guests are hosting the main stage at San Francisco Pride on Sunday, June 26th in San Francisco Civic Center Plaza. Sister Roma and Honey Mahogany, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Oh my gosh, it's a pleasure to be back.
It's wonderful to see you. How are you?
I wonder if either of you remember your first San Francisco Pride.
When I was a junior in college, I came out here to visit a friend. I was so awestruck by the physical beauty of the place. First of all, being from Michigan, where it's so flat, and you come to San Francisco and it's all mountains and hills and water and bridges and skyscrapers. And I was just like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful place ever. Well, I happened to come in June and it happened to be Gay Pride. And I found myself in the middle of 300,000 people just like me. I had come from this small conservative town where the gay bars didn't even have windows. So I went back and finished college and I moved to San Francisco immediately after that in 1985.
And Honey, of course, in 1985, you were already here in San Francisco, right?
I was 2 years old.
I was going to say she was in diapers. I could have been her au pair, her nanny.
I will admit that my first Pride was not San Francisco Pride, which is odd as someone who grew up here, but... I grew up in a very conservative family. Conservative, I think, religiously, not so conservative, I guess, in terms of politics. They always voted for Democrats. But I remember when I was in high school, I sort of like snuck to the Castro once. And, you know, while I was there, of course, I wanted to go buy hot cookie. And so, like, I, like, took some money out at the ATM at the Bank of America and then went over and, like, you know, bought myself some cookies and then, like, you know, went home and I was just like, okay, great. Like, they're never going to find out. And, of course, like, they found out because I used the ATM at, like, Castro and Market. And so they're like, what were you doing in the Castro? And so from then on out, I was just, like, very careful about, like, where I went and, like, you know, making sure, you know, it was just the whole thing. So I never actually made it out to Pride until I was in LA and came out and, you know, did LA Pride and West Hollywood Pride and all of that stuff. And that was really cool. But I will say that when I first came back and did San Francisco Pride for the first time, you know, I at that point was a drag queen or starting like a little baby drag queen and just having so much fun. And so I remember my feet like killing me and, you know, just being like over it and exhausted, but also like just so much joy.
Honey Mahogany, you were just on the show last month, and in the time since that appearance, you have announced your run for District 6 supervisor here in San Francisco. I just have two questions. Question one, how are you not going to announce that on the show? And then the second more serious question, what is it that you're hoping to do in D6? Why D6 and why you?
Well, to answer your first question, I wasn't quite ready to announce yet. You can't rush these things. You know, there's a lot of planning that goes into announcing. But, you know, the time was right when it was right. And, you know, we did a big announcement and there were, you know, something like 500 people there. And it was really, really, really beautiful in the diversity of the folks that were there and the support that I received. So I was truly humbled and touched and heartened to see all those people show up. Why District 6? Well, for one thing, District 6 is the place that I have called home for a very long time in many different ways. I've been a small business owner in District 6 as one of the co-owners of the Stud. District 6 is the place where I have worked all my life. You know, I helped write the legislation that created the cultural districts and codified them into our city charter. And, you know, of course, I live here. This is my community. And, you know, I grew up here and I grew up on the West Side. When I think of what home is for me, it is really here in the heart of SoMa where we have so much art. arts and culture and diversity. And, you know, the LGBT community has such a deep-rooted history here, especially here in Central and West SoMa, where we have, I think, the coolest queer bars in the country. San Francisco has been extremely hard hit by the pandemic, and one of the hardest hit neighborhoods has been SoMa. I just think that there's tremendous opportunity here to do things right, to continue to work with community, work with small businesses, to really bring nightlife and arts and culture back. And also, though, is to really figure out what is happening on our streets. I mean, with a city as rich and wealthy, and I mean rich in resources, rich in people and brilliance, and then also, very importantly, rich in money, we have all the ingredients that it takes to solve any problem that we put our minds to. I'm a practical person. I want to come up with practical solutions. I want to bring everyone to the table. And, you know, in many ways, I think that I'm uniquely positioned and extensively qualified to fill the role of District 6 supervisor.
Honey, you brought to mind a Twitter question that we got today from Jimothy63. You spoke about police accountability, and so I just wanted to bring this up. It says, will Honey keep SFPD accountable for their murders if she wins the D6 election? And I think people are very concerned about SFPD specifically right now. And I think that especially when it comes to budget issues, I think people are concerned about more money and more resources going to SFPD. What do you say to folks on that side of the issue?
I think that the police need to be held accountable, especially when they are doing things that are wrong. And unfortunately, SFPD has a bad reputation. And it's been widely reported about the abuses that have happened. If folks are killing unarmed people in our streets, they should be prosecuted for that and held accountable to that. I think that's 100% unacceptable. I don't think we should even, you know, stand for it as a city. And we need people who are going to stand up to folks and say that that is not right and that is not okay, and we need to do something about it. That being said, I haven't talked about this a lot, but I have family members in SFPD. You know, I have close friends in SFPD. So I know that there are good cops out there who really love the city and want to do their job and do their best. And unfortunately, they're in a system and a part of a culture that, you know, honestly, can be really toxic and needs to be reformed. So 100%, I'm here to make sure that we're speaking out and making sure that the police are doing their jobs in a way that is morally, ethically sound. And also, I want to recognize that in order to do that, we might need to hire some new officers who are properly trained, who are in it for the right reasons, and who are not a part of a culture of corruption. You know, I believe SFPD has lost upwards of 280 officers in this last year. That's a tremendous cost savings. They're only adding a few, like maybe a dozen or so new ones per year. And that may be stretching it. So they already have a huge cost savings. You know, there's a lot of conversation about the SFPD, you know, whether or not they're going to be getting more money. Well, I understand why that's a story, but part of that is just labor negotiations. And, you know, folks get raises every few years. That's just how it works in city government. I mean, that's a part of, again, labor negotiations. So I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to police being paid a good wage in order to do their jobs if they're being effective, if they're well-trained, if they're in it for the right reasons. So that's where I stand.
Talk about the importance of activism. You're both doing the actual work on the ground in San Francisco as activists. Why is it so important for people to be involved right now?
Human rights are being challenged left and right by the conservative right-wing Christian, the GOP, the Republicans. Basically, they want to strip us of all of our rights and protections. And they're starting with trans kids. You know, whoever thought that on one hand, here they are, they're talking about protecting life, the sanctity of life, by denying women the right to choose, and then turning around and attacking children. You know, this is the kind of bullshit that pops up and that we have to continue to fight against. And I mean, when I started my activism, it was really just around HIV and AIDS. That's what the sisters' focus was from the very beginning, in addition to being just political because of who we are and what we represent. But really, the work was around saving our community's lives and educating people about HIV and AIDS. And that's where we focused most of our energy for a very long time. And then we started to become more political and got involved in every issue that you can imagine. And I don't know why I have always stepped up and picked up a bullhorn or a picket sign or stood next to someone and been motivated to support a cause or to get in the streets and do ministry or to feed hungry people. I don't know why. I don't know why I do that. I honestly don't, except that I know it's right and it makes me feel good. I want to do what I can to make the world a better place because, you know, we're all here for just a limited amount of time. And I don't want my time here to be a waste. And I want to go out and try and make the world a better place. And when I started doing it, I was doing it for myself and my community. And now I realize as I'm reaching a certain age that I'm doing it for the future. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm doing it for the people who are coming behind me. And I have so much faith in the next generations coming as they're really smart and they really get it. And so that makes me feel good, but I don't want them to become complacent. I don't want them to take the advances and the rights that we have earned and fought for and have received for granted, because as we can see, it can all be striked away, taken away by the strike of a pen. Mm-hmm. So don't become complacent. Don't sit back and think, oh, well, we can serve in the military. We can get married. You know, that's done. Like, don't think that that can all be taken away. There are certain people who would love to see us become second-class citizens, and they would like to see us outlawed. They would like to see us be condemned, morally corrupt, mentally ill. Like that, there are people who are definitely trying to strip all of that away. So don't take anything for granted. Keep your eyes open and keep fighting.
I was there this last Easter Sunday as the sisters returned to a live audience in Dolores Park. There's no other way to say it except, like, holy crap, what a crowd. The community came out, and you were there at center stage for that. After a year of 2 years of the pandemic and doing the production online last year, what was that moment like to step on stage in front of a completely packed Dolores Park this year?
It was absolutely glorious. I mean, this Easter is the sisters' actual anniversary. The group started on Easter weekend in 1979. It was great to be back. It was beautiful to see probably 20,000 people turn out in San Francisco and just celebrate the weirdness, the queerness, the great talent that we had on stage, and to see trans Foxy Mary and Black Woman is God. When Hunky Jesus, I mean, it was absolutely the most San Francisco thing I've ever seen in my life. It was like the Golden Gate Bridge and fog and Easter in the park. Like, that's just what San Francisco is all about.
Yes.
And it was just beautiful. And I would like to point out that we did not have one incident around that event with all of those people not one incident of violence or anything happened. Everybody was just there out of love.
It was pure joy in the place. Like I spent the whole day walking around saying hi to friends that I hadn't seen in a while and hugging people and watching the show and drinking and et cetera. It was a great day. And it doesn't surprise me that there were no incidents because I don't think there was a single person in the entire park that was in a bad mood that day.
Oh, good. Yay.
You're listening to Out in the Bay, Queer Radio. I'm Christopher Beal. For more information on the show, to make a donation, or to catch up on past episodes, head to outinthebay.org. My guests this week are Honey Mahogany and Sister Roma, the hosts of San Francisco Pride, Sunday, June 26th at Civic Center Plaza. I want to talk about the two Pride-related debates that are ongoing in social media and in the bars. The first debate that I want to bring up is, does kink belong at Pride?
Yes. I think absolutely. Pride started as a protest of being all about, like, this is who I am and accept me as I am. And not that long ago, and in some places apparently even today, people are not accepted for being queer or being trans and are made fun of for being queer and trans, are fired or not hired for being queer and trans. And so this, just being in public as who we are, was a revolutionary act and still continues to be a revolutionary act and is still considered unacceptable by people. And I think that the kink community is a part of our community. It is a part of who we are. And I think that if we as a country and as a people had less shame around sex and sexuality, that we would be a far better off. I think that we would have better health outcomes for everyone in the city. I think we would have less violence, less oppression. And so I do think that kink has a place at Pride. I mean, it's a part of our community. I wouldn't, you know, we can't cut off our big toe or our left foot or whatever. And kink, honestly, like the Folsom Street Fair, for example, you know, the kink community has raised millions of dollars for the LGBT community and for HIV and AIDS and for so many other causes. And even just for that, I think that they should be welcomed and celebrated.
Absolutely. Please don't whitewash it anymore. Like, we've got to remember our roots and who we are, and that this is a celebration of our freedoms. And it's a release. It's should be a day to let your freak flag fly.
The other big issue in the press leading up to this year's Pride celebrations is that the San Francisco police and fire departments had kind of a battle over whether or not the police would appear at Pride. And now there's been a compromise. What do you think was at the heart of all of this fight? Because this one got really contentious.
I think that ultimately Pride is a community event, and the community needs to, you know, set the boundaries around that. And there needs to be conversations that bring us to a compromise. Luckily, I think this year there was a compromise that was reached, and it was done through community conversations with SF Pride, in conversation with SFPD. And, you know, from what they made it sound like, there was miscommunication. Like, I think some of the officers didn't realize that Pride had already said that they could march in SFPD t-shirts, you know? And so, again, I think that we need more people in our government who, instead of stoking the fires of political division, are going to bring us together and be willing to have conversations with people that they don't agree with, and be willing to bring folks to the table and say, hey, I believe this, you believe this, where can we meet in the middle and how can we move forward? And thankfully that did happen. It happened, you know, I think it happened at Manny's with the president of Pride and police officers, and they were able to reach that compromise.
I think it's one of those issues, though, that became an example of how divisive our politics have become, not just our politics, you know, of people in political office, but our politics just as people. I mean, this became an issue that was tough for friend groups to discuss, and it seemed like nobody was listening to each other.
People always want to feel like they're doing the right thing and making the right decision. And it is very easy to see both sides. People were like, well, we can't discriminate against the police, and there are queer and trans police. We have to let them march in the parade. But it's like, you know, being a police officer is not an identity. Being a police officer is a career choice. So it's not exactly the same as marching in the LGBTQ Freedom Day parade where we celebrate who we are. It's not a job fair. I can understand why it's comparing apples to oranges to say that we can't discriminate against them. But nobody was just, they were like, you can march. We just don't want you to be in your uniforms, because there are people in our community who are triggered by seeing police officers in uniform, which I completely understand. I have eyes. I've been around for the last decade watching watching what's been going on in the world. So I can understand, hey, I'm a white cis male. So my experience is much different. I'm fine if the police in the parade, what are they going to do to me? You know, but I understand there are members of my community who are very threatened and triggered by that. To me, it's more important to listen to those marginalized voices than it is to sit in my comfort and my privilege and say that the police should be allowed to do whatever they want in the parade.
Right.
Lastly, and then I promise we'll get off of depressing things, there's always a threat of violence when LGBTQIA people gather. I think that's just a sad reality that we face. But, you know, we just commemorated the 6th anniversary of the Pulse shootings. And then in Idaho, this group of white nationalists was on their way to a Pride event where police say they were planning violence. Many of the men were armed. It's a pretty scary news cycle around Pride right now. Are either of you feeling any apprehension going into Pride, or has this just strengthened your resolve?
You know, just in San Lorenzo, there was the attack on the drag queen Story Hour that happened. That in and of itself was horrific. And that happened to Ponda Dulce, a queen that we all know. It's always scary. I travel throughout the country. You know, I can't change what I look like or who I am. Sure, I can like modify how I dress or, you know, whatever, but like I look queer and I look trans. And so it is uncomfortable sometimes, and sometimes it is scary, even in San Francisco. But I think because we all experience that to some extent, we also have built up a resilience. And I think, but I do think that recent events have really hit home that violence can happen and that there are people in this world, in this country, in this region who are interested in stoking dissent, who are interested in dividing us, splitting us up so that we are more vulnerable and that they can push forward their agendas. And I think Sister Roma and many folks who have come before us have shown us that we are strong enough and that we can stand up to it. That being said, did I think about like, wow, this just happened and we're going to host the main stage at Pride? Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been doing this for decades. I've hosted Halloween in the Castro, Easter in the Park, Pride, Folsom Street Fair. And in the earlier years, nobody thought about we were going to be gunned down on stage. We worried about maybe getting attacked or beat up after the event, walking home, you know, skinheads, that kind of thing. But in recent years, and almost before every major event where I do this, I think to myself, you know, there is a possibility that there could be a sniper out there somewhere who decides that now's their chance to do something evil like that. I think about it a little bit beforehand. I push it out of my mind because I'm determined more than ever to host these events with joy and love and confidence. And just the mere thought of them is not going to keep me down or keep this event from happening. And then once you're there, those thoughts just fly right out of your head and never once do you think about it because it's the energy and the love is in the air and you're just so hyped up and having such a great time. And you look out and you see these smiling faces. And we do remind people from the stage to, if you see something, say something and to stay safe and aware of their surroundings and things. But when you're up there, that never crosses my mind. A little bit beforehand, sure. You know, because I mean, hello, here we are up on this stage in clear view and feathers on my head. I'm basically a sitting duck, you know? So, but nothing like that has ever happened. And let's hope that we have it, just like Easter, that we have an event without any incident.
Well, I know there's a lot of fun stuff being planned to keep the event joyful. What are you two planning for Sunday on the main stage?
Oh, we can't give that away. I will say that I am hopefully going to have a new outfit to wear, though. So that's exciting.
Yes. I'm really excited to see Jinx Monsoon in Major Scales.
Jinx is so incredible, and she's doing so well on All Stars.
Really, really good. And she's a friend of both of ours and immensely talented. And I'm really proud of her for her success on the show thus far. We'll see what happens, but we'll know, I guess, actually, on Sunday, mm-hmm. won't we? Because the finale is the Friday before.
Yeah.
We might be celebrating with Jinx.
Who knows?
Also, Martha Wash is playing Pride this year, which I'm fanboying about just a little bit. I mean, one of the original Weather Girls, she sang backup on You Make Me Feel Mighty Real with Sylvester, Gonna Make You Sweat with CNC Music Factory. Like, wow, what a voice. I met her in Florida 2 decades ago, and she was so delightful that I never forgot our very short conversation. Have either of you worked with Martha before?
I've met her on more than one occasion, and she is absolutely iconic. She's legendary. She is the pipes to end all pipes. But one time I went and saw her, and it was around the controversy where she was under legal obligation not to talk about the fact that she voiced those iconic songs for those groups. And I saw her, and the lawsuit had happened, and she goes, I am Black Box. I am CNC Music Factory, and I am Martha Wash. And the crowd just lost their minds, and she just let loose and hit it, those songs. She's gonna bring the house down.
Before we wrap up this episode of Out in the Bay, I want to get to a listener question from Twitter. Both are kind of looking for advice. Gary writes, right now our youth are living in fear and the world feels like it's burning down around us. I would like to ask these legends, both of whom who've lived through some pretty tough times, to give advice to those who are doubtful about the future. How can we better support each other?
I mean, I think the best advice I could give is to be a part of the change that you want to see in the world, to participate, to not grow apathetic, to make sure that you're voting, to make sure that you're out there on the streets protesting safely, but you know that you're making your voice heard. Because I think the most powerful thing that we have is our voice. If we stay silent, then they win. But I think if we put ourselves out there in whatever way we feel safe. You know, I'm not going to advocate for a queer teen in, you know, a rural town that, you know, is completely isolated to, you know, just, you know, go and march on their city hall. But what I will say is that there are so many ways and so many places in which now, today, we can use our voice, whether it be through social media, through other outlets, just get out there and get involved. Unfortunately, I think what we are seeing right now is that a lot of our youth are feeling very apathetic, are feeling like their voice doesn't matter, that, you know, the adults in the world have screwed things up and they can't make a difference. And I just want to say that that's absolutely not true. The youth out there continue to inspire us every day, and we are fighting for you, and we just can't wait for you to join us on the front lines.
One of the things that I've learned over the years is that people's reaction to me says a lot more about them than it does about me. So I want all young people out there to know who are living their authentic lives that the negative feedback that they may be getting from strangers on the internet or peers in high school or college, just remember that you know who you are, you know where your heart's in the right place, you know what's important, and those people who are giving you the negative reactions are dealing with their own stuff, and the way that they see you really reflects on them. Remember not to take it too personal and to keep being yourself. And if you ever feel alone, look around. There are other people like you or willing to accept you and who are here for you.
Roma, other than the 2022 Pride celebration, which you and Honey Mahogany are hosting, what else are you looking forward to the rest of this Pride month?
Oh my gosh. Well, do you want my itinerary? Well, I would love people to know that on Sunday, the 19th, we are doing the second annual Queens on Top Drag Brunch at the Fairmont Hotel. That is a benefit for Pride. And then after that, you can go to Broadway Bears SF. On Tuesday is the annual Drag Queen Cook-Off, where Juanita Moore and I are going wig to wig against Brita Filter and Ms. Cracker for the Williams-Sonoma Drag Queen Cook-Off. It's so much fun. This is the fifth year. I am ready to take the crown. And then on the 22nd, come out and support the old girls, baby. It's the Legends of Drag at Oasis, where all of the established queens of a certain age will be putting on a fabulous show. I'll be emceeing that. And then, of course, Sunday's the big day.
But I have something for the 23rd because I have a band called Commando. It's a gay new metal band from San Francisco, but we actually feature vocalists from all over the state of California. Our San Francisco debut will be at the Independent this Thursday on June 23rd. A great way to prepare for the joy of Pride weekend.
Where can folks keep in touch with both of you on social media?
Instagram and Twitter, just at Honey Mahogany. You can also follow me on Facebook as well.
I am everywhere at Sister Roma. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Christian Mingle, Farmers Only.
You've been listening to Out in the Bay, Queer Radio. I'm Christopher Beale. We'll be back next week. Until then, you can check out all of our past episodes, make a donation, or get in touch with us at outinthebay.org. That's outinthebay.org. Our email address is outinthebay@yahoo.com. The executive producer of Out in the Bay is Eric Jansen. I'm Christopher Beale. I produced and engineered this episode. You can interact with me on social media at @RealChrisJBeale. Happy Pride, and thanks for joining me out in the Bay.
Happy Pride! Out in the Bay Queer Radio is part of Give Out Day, a Pride Month fundraiser. Donating via Give Out Day helps Out in the Bay earn bonuses based on the number of donors. So even $10 will help us keep airing LGBTQ stories on KALW. More info at outinthebay.org. Under the post for this week's show, that's outinthebay.org. Thank you, and join us 5 p.m. Fridays on KALW, San Francisco Bay Area.